Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you and thank you for joining us today. And we're going to study the Word of God together, as we've been doing. We are presently on the letter H, and we're studying about God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And if you are just joining us, I thank you for listening in, and I respect you for wanting to study the Word of God and find out what the Bible says and what the Bible says is and what the Bible says is not, and what the Bible speaks and teaches as truth. And that's what we need to be interested in today, men and women and brothers and sisters. We need to be interested in the truth. Not only interested, but we need to be voracious about it. We need to have veracity when it comes to the truth. That's what veracity is the habitual regard for the truth. We need to have habit in our life of whether or not something is the truth or not. In society today, and the way that the world is moving right now, it's moving closer and closer to the end times that the Bible speaks about, to where the whole world is deceived. And you can see deceit in society today. It's all over the place. And just about anybody that you walk up and talk to, or you do business at a business, or just about anything or anybody that you talk to now, you can see deceit in the world and in society, and you can see it working. And that's the plan, and that's fine. The Lord knows that, and the Lord's given us warning about that, but we need to know it, and we need to believe it, and we need to ready ourselves for it. And the way that we do that is that we know what the truth is, and we have the truth instilled in our minds and in our hearts. And that we believe the truth and we love the truth. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Hate evil. And you can't hate evil if you don't love the truth. It's one or the other. And you can't be mad at something that's evil and hate evil if you're not a believer in truth and you do not have a desire in your heart for truth. Now, that's one thing that Christians need to be doing, is desiring truth. So that's what we're going to do today, is thank you for studying with us. And we're going to go right into our study. Just a little recap of what we've talked about already. We begin our study about the Holy Ghost and about the confusion that's in the world today, and how the Holy Ghost is regarded in many different ways, having to do with different cults and religions, and the Holy Ghost is thought of in many, many different ways. But we got into our Bibles last week, and we found out that the Holy Ghost is God. We talked about the topic of who is the Holy Ghost. We found out that the Holy Ghost is God, and that he can be lied to. We drew truths from the Word of God in the book of Acts when we was reading about Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that? And that Peter had said that they had lied to the Holy Ghost, and then later on in that scripture he called the Holy Ghost God. So who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is God. Then we find out that the Holy Ghost is one with the Father and with the Son, with the Word. The Bible says that they are all equal on a horizontal plane from one another. They all have different offices, and they are three different, entities, but they are three different persons, but they are one. We worship and we serve one God, and it is Jehovah, the Lord, the creator of all things, the God of the Bible, but he represents himself in three different persons, and that is the Father, that is the Son, or the Word, and that is the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost is equal with the Father and equal with the Son, and the Scriptures never speak of one of them as being the other person. When the Bible speaks about the Son, it's speaking about the Son. It's not speaking about the Holy Ghost. And the Bible never calls Jesus Christ the Holy Ghost. The Bible never calls the Holy Ghost the Father. The Bible never calls the Son the Father. They are three distinct persons, but they are all one. I know that's hard to believe, and then I guess the Lord meant it to be hard to believe, or not hard to believe, but hard to understand is what I mean. And it is hard to understand. There's a lot of things in the Scriptures that are hard to understand because they are, they're not attainable to the human mind and the human understanding. But the things, if we just study and believe the things that God has given us to understand and study, we'll have plenty while we're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ to come to believe in. The Lord has given us plenty and given us so much in the Scriptures already that if we just believed what we do understand, we would do fine, wouldn't we? Okay, and then we talked about in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, when the Lord gave out the instructions about going into the world and preaching the gospel in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, that all three of them were individualized as singular persons in the Scriptures there. The Bible, you'll notice the word name in that part of that Scripture there, that individualized or brought out in a singular manner the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. All three of them are one, but all three of them are distinctly individuals also. Now, the Bible also showed us the personal pronouns that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he was speaking of the Holy Ghost coming, the Comforter coming, after his departure and his ascent back to the Heavenly Father at his ascension, after he resurrected from the grave and stayed around 40 days and 40 nights being seen of people and them witnessing that he was indeed alive in his resurrected body. Then he ascended 40 days later or thereabout back to the Father. But before he did, he spoke of the Holy Ghost coming, and when he spoke of him, he used many, many personal pronouns such as he, him, himself, words that you would use to describe a person that you know, a real person, not an entity, influence, not a force, but a person. And the Lord Jesus Christ never made any kind, he never inclined in any kind, he never moved or suggested in any kind of way that the Holy Ghost was some kind of influence or that he was a force. When he spoke about him, he spoke about him as a person. And then we talked about the three different ways that the Holy Ghost could be affected as a person, and we used the Scripture in Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 7 and Ephesians chapter 4 to show that the Holy Ghost can be affected the same way that human beings can be affected. And what we're talking about is that he can be lied to, is that he can be grieved, and he can also be resisted. So we see that he is indeed a person. Now, going into today's study, we're going to talk about what has the Holy Ghost done in times past. In times past, according to the Scriptures, what does the Bible give us as far as truth and as far as information to tell us about the Holy Ghost and what he has done in times past? After all, if he is a person, then he has done things and going to do things. I mean, people are busy and they do things. So what was the Holy Ghost involved in the past? Well, let's read some Scripture and find these things out. Here's some Scripture right here. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, what's that telling us right there that the Holy Ghost was active in? Well, in Genesis 1:2, it comes right after Genesis 1:1, and what's 1:1 say? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay, so what's that telling us that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water? The waters, and the waters were upon the face of the earth. And what is that telling us? Well, it's telling us that God the Holy Ghost was active in creation. He was active in creation. He was there. He was present. He was there. And the Bible also says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The Bible says in Job chapter 33 and verse 4, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." So according to those two scriptures together, the Spirit of God hath made me. What else does the Bible teach us other than creation that the Holy Ghost has been part of? Well, he's been part of creating mankind. Whenever the Lord formed mankind and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the Bible says that Job, he confessed that the Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. The Bible says that the Spirit of God, according to Job and according to Genesis, that he was present and he was part and responsible for giving man life. Given man life. And he was there at the creation of man. So, what a miracle. What a miracle. And here's a miracle for you as far as we're talking about. What has the Holy Ghost done in times past? Well, he was there present during creation, active in creation. He was there active in the creation of man. Okay. And we see that in the scriptures. Now listen to this. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." Very important to learn that. "For the prophecy came not in old time." That tells us how it did not come. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." There's how it didn't come. "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Okay, very important truth in that portion of Scripture concerning the Holy Ghost and what he has done in times past, and you're holding it in your lap, probably. What miracle was the Holy Ghost, or what was the Holy Ghost responsible for right there in 2 Peter? He was responsible for authoring the Scriptures, wasn't he? That Bible that you're holding in your hand right now, God the Holy Ghost authored it. He wrote it. The Bible says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man." Now, men wrote it, but it wasn't written in as it wasn't written according to their will. It was written to according to somebody else's will. And who was that? "But holy men of God spake." And as they spake, then there were scribes there that wrote down the words that they spake exactly. We see that in Jeremiah. "But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." God the Holy Ghost would move those men to speak the words that he willed to be spoken. And there were men sitting right beside them with pen and paper or pencil and paper, and they would write those words down exactly as God the Holy Ghost authored or influenced or moved those men to speak. And we see in 2 Peter that the Holy Ghost has done some things in times past. He authored our Bible. He wrote a book for us. He gave us some documents from the Lord that we can look at with our eyes in English and read in English, and we can understand in English, and we can learn what the will of God is and believe His words. And they are powerful, and they are, they live. The Bible says that it liveth and abideth forever. And they do live. They are alive. If you are a Christian and you know anything about the Word of God at all or had any experience with the Word of God, you know that's not just a book. That's not just a book. It is the book. Now, another thing in Luke chapter 1:35, we remember what we're talking about. We're talking about what has the Holy Ghost done in times past. Well, He's done plenty so far of what we've talked about. He was there at creation of the earth. He was there whenever men were created and the Holy Ghost breathed, that man became a living soul, but the Spirit of God made, Job said He made him, and then the breath of the Almighty gave him life. But then we've seen in 2 Peter also that the Word of God was authored by him. But in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, the Bible says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, according to the Scriptures, what miracle was the Holy Ghost a part of here? We see that we're talking about a person. Influences out there floating around that have no substance to them, and all this nonsense that they talk about the Holy Ghost being, don't do these things. They don't create things. They don't author books. They're not there, and they had no part in the creation of a man. They can't do these things. A person can do these things, though, God the Holy Ghost. Now, what miracle was the Holy Ghost a part of, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35? The Bible says, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee." Who's he talking to there? He's talking to Mary, remember? The mother of the Lord Jesus Christ that birthed him. The one that carried him around as a human being and gave, and the Lord, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So according to the Holy Ghost, what part did he have in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, he is the one that placed the seed in Mary, so that she could conceive the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, and God himself incarnated into that seed in Mary and grew into a child, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? What sense does the Bible make? It makes very good and perfect sense. That's what it makes. That's what it teaches. But God the Holy Ghost was there at the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's been in times past. He's been there the whole time. He's everlasting to everlasting. But just to what does the Scriptures teach that he has been in times past and been responsible for things? Of course it does. Remember, this study is about the Holy Ghost. Excuse me. Now, another one is found in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 1, we're talking about what has the Holy Ghost done in times past. Romans chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." By the resurrection from the dead. Okay, and then in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, the Bible says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now, according to these two verses that we read here, the question is, what miracle was the Holy Ghost responsible for here? Well, the Holy Ghost has done things in times past. He was there at creation, had part in that. He was there when the Holy Bible was written, and the scriptures are the very words of God the Holy Ghost. He authored our Bible. And the Bible, isn't that what the Bible says? We read that, right? That's what it says. It's not what we think, it's what it says, and we believe it, and we do think it, because the scriptures teach that. Now, what miracle was the Holy Ghost a part of in Luke there whenever we read that? He was part of the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ when he incarnated, and when he came and took on flesh, and was incarnated in flesh, and became flesh. Okay, and then in this one that we read in Romans, what miracle the Holy Ghost responsible for there? Did you come up with that? Well, he's responsible for the resurrection, wasn't he? He brought Jesus back to life. He brought Jesus Christ back from the dead. The Bible says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now listen to Romans 8:11 again. But if the Spirit, capital S, talking about a person, in your King James Bible, they did that for us. Whenever the word Spirit is capitalized, it's always talking about God the Holy Spirit. When it's lowercase, it's talking about, it could be talking about any spirit, man's spirit, an unclean spirit, other spirits it could be talking about. But when that word is capitalized, it's talking about the Holy Ghost himself, a person. But if the Spirit of him, who's him? Him, the Spirit of him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. According to the Bible right there, what's the Bible teach us about God, the Holy Ghost, the person, and what he's done in times past? He raised up Jesus from the dead. Raised him up from the dead. That's pretty powerful. That's not an influence out there, is it? That's not something floating around in the air that doesn't mean diddly squat. We're talking about God, the third person of the Godhead. We're talking about God, the Holy Ghost. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ, there it is again, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. When's he going to do that? Well, he's going to do that at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what we're waiting for right now, at the second advent, when he comes, and he comes down through the clouds, and we are caught up together with him, we shall be changed. And we'll put off these vile bodies, and the Lord will fashion us like a new body, like unto his glorious body. Quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. So according to the Bible, God the Holy Ghost even dwells in us if you're born again, right? We knew that. Why? Because the scriptures teach it. That's why. Okay, so what has God the Holy Ghost done in times past? He's done plenty, hasn't he? All right, well, let's move into another category of the Holy Ghost and the study of the Holy Ghost. How about this one? What is the work of the Holy Ghost today? What's the work of the Holy Ghost today? Now, we might look at John chapter 15 and begin there in verse 26. The Bible says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, who's speaking there in John? That's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He says, but when the Comforter is come, remember he talked about that earlier, that he was going to send him and spoke of him as a person. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, after Jesus goes to be with the Father, just like the Scripture teaches us, even the Spirit of truth, there he is describing him as the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So according to that verse, we're talking about this category. What is the work of the Holy Ghost in the world today? Well, according to John 15:26, the Spirit of truth testifies of whom? He testifies of Jesus Christ. One of the things and one of the works of God the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ just told us in John 15:26 that he is busy doing here on this earth while he's here is that he testifies of Jesus Christ. He didn't say he testified of Muhammad. He doesn't do that. He doesn't testify of Buddha. He doesn't testify of all these fake gods in the world today that can't do anything and haven't done anything for mankind and haven't died for anybody and and these things that are false. The Bible says that God the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Of truth. The only thing that he speaks and only thing he has anything to do with is truth. And when it comes to the when it comes to a work that he does here today, being here with us, the Comforter, one of the works that he does is he testifies of Jesus Christ. Jesus told us that that's what he was going to do when he come. When Jesus went to the Father and sent God the Holy Ghost down here, and the Holy Ghost came, and one of his works here is to testify of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and of the truth, of the truth. If it's not of the truth, it's not of God the Holy Ghost, not the one that Jesus sent. Not the one that Jesus sent. Now, another thing in John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11, that we can look at and see that is a work of the Holy Ghost. Let me read that to you. In John 16, verse 8 through 11, it says, "And when he is come," we read this the other day, remember, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So another work that the Holy Ghost does here, the word reprove that the Scriptures is using there means to convict. It means he makes, the Holy Ghost convicts of these things. He makes somebody liable. He makes them responsible. He convicts them of it. Okay. And the Bible said that he convicts the world of sin. He convicts the world of righteousness and convicts the world of judgment. And he does this through truth. And these three things the Comforter convicts men of. The first thing he said that he convicted men of in the world is of sin. He convicts the world of sin. That's what's wrong. That's the things that are wrong. That's the things that are not the truth. He convicts the world of sin. He convicts the world of righteousness. Of righteousness. And that's what is right. That is the truth. That's the things. He convicts the world of what is wrong. Of sin. He convicts the world of what is right. Righteousness, talking about God's righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness, not the world's version of right and wrong. It's kind of mixed up today with the world's version of right and wrong. I wouldn't go by that. And of judgment. And of judgment. And what is judgment? Judgment is having God's mind concerning what is right and wrong and being able to know the difference between right and wrong. So the Holy Ghost teaches and convicts the world of what is wrong, sin, of what is right, righteousness, what is true righteousness in God's eyes, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and also how to tell the difference between right and wrong, judgment, and something that the world also doesn't know anything about. They getting so screwed up out there now about what is right and wrong. They can't tell what's right and wrong if you told them. And they wouldn't believe it if you told them what was right and wrong. But that's the work of the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost is not just, He doesn't just exist. He has reason and He has purpose. And He has a mission. And He is part of the Godhead and He has His office of the Godhead, and He is busy performing that office and doing it. And these are the works, some of the works that He does and that He is responsible for. He testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ and brings Him and reveals Him to this world. God the Holy Ghost does. And then in John 16, He reproves or convicts the world of what is wrong, of sin, of what is right, righteousness, and how to tell the difference between right and wrong, which is judgment, the right kind of judgment, the truth in judgment. Now, another thing that He does is in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Renewing of the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost is busy renewing us and fashioning us into the image of Jesus Christ. He's busy on us. He not only is responsible in salvation whenever we get born again, but moves into our bodies and resides there. And the Bible says He'll be there forever. Okay, and He's in us, and He begins to regenerate us. The washing of regeneration through the Word, the Bible says, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is responsible for renewing us and giving us a new mind, the Bible says. But also to go along with that, in John chapter 3 and verse 5 through 7, the Bible says, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit," capitalized Spirit, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, we know the kingdom of God is not a place. The kingdom of God is the spiritual kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is the wisdom of God. It's the body of Christ. It's spiritual. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's not literal. It's not something that you can touch. It is spiritual. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a place. It's a place that you can be and see. The kingdom of God is spiritual. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You must be born again. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the Holy Ghost who does the work of washing and renewing by regenerating our spirit. He's the one that actually births us, and we are born of the Spirit. We're quickened, the Bible calls it, which means to be made alive. He quickens and makes alive our spirits that were dead. And we couldn't communicate with God. We couldn't have any kind of communication with the Lord, but He quickens our spirit, and we are born again. The word quicken means to make alive. Born means that we're brought into existence. He quickens. We're born of the Spirit. Talking about God the Holy Spirit, you'll notice in that verse. The Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So we see very important that the Word of God, which God the Holy Ghost authored and gave us God's words, the Word of truth, the words of truth, and gave those to us, how very important they are in quickening us and quickening our spirit. Our flesh cannot be quickened. It's already been judged, and it's going back to the grave, where the Bible, where God says it's going back to. It's already been judged. It's dead, and it's going back. You're a walking zombie, according to the scriptures. You're carrying around a dead man on you, and he's going back to the grave. And then when the Lord comes, he's gonna redo that body and give you a perfect body, fashioned like unto Jesus's perfect body. And we're gonna put off these vile bodies, the Bible says. So, talking about what has the Holy Ghost done in times past, he's done plenty, hasn't he? And what is the Holy Ghost, what is the work of the Holy Ghost today? You see, the Holy Ghost is not somebody that can be controlled like these other cults and like these other belief systems and whatever they are you want to call them or title them. He can't be controlled and commanded by a human being and manipulated and controlled like you would do a doll and stick your hand up under the clothes and like those ventriloquists do and stick their hand in the back of him and then move his head and his mouth and make him obey you. That's not God the Holy Ghost. God the Holy Ghost is a person, and he is the third person of the Godhead, and he is holy, and he is indeed God himself. We should be careful about dealing with God the Holy Ghost and talking to him like and behaving with him to try to manipulate him like you would like a ventriloquist would do his dummy. The Holy Ghost is not a dummy. He is God. And he has been busy since creation. And even before that, he's from everlasting to everlasting. And he is the third person of the Godhead. And he's been in times past. Here's evidence of him in the scriptures, and the scriptures show us that where he's been in times past. We've seen that, so we can believe that. And then what the work of the Holy Ghost is today. And we see that. He testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's busy about convicting the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And when he leaves, you're going to know it, because this world, you think this world is bad now, but you see all how what sin and rejection of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost does to a people. You see that? Every country in the past that has denied that book and walked, turned their back on that book, on God's words, and turned their back on the conviction of the Holy Ghost has become a third world and or even doesn't even exist or very they're not a world a world population. They're not prospering like they used to. In other words, they've been judged. And any country, and I'm afraid America has decided to do that. We still have a lot of Christians that love the Lord in America, but we should be very careful about the way that we handle the Word of God and treat the Word of God, and also behave around God the Holy Ghost, and not to grieve him, and definitely not to reject him or not listen to him. He dwells in us. He's our comforter. And he takes that very seriously. He's God. Our Heavenly Father is our Father, and he takes his fatherhood very seriously. You that have been fathered by him, you know that he loves you like a father, and he disciplines like a father. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he called us friends, and he has done his work and his office of the Godhead in providing the body and the blood for the sacrifice, for the eternal sacrifice for our souls. And God the Holy Ghost has taken up residence in us to carry us on through until we get to see the Lord face to face. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord has done it, and it is done. It's past tense. But God the Holy Ghost is with us. And he is God. He is a person. And he's done things in times past, and he's busy today doing things. And next we're going to talk about what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved. And there's a lot of things that are done, and I don't know if you've heard of them or not heard of them, but we're going to talk about some of them in the ABCs of Christian growth, and we're going to keep it simple. But there are a lot of things. This is a very important doctrine. The Holy Ghost has been very much involved in our salvation, and He has done a tremendous amount of things that you might and might not be familiar with, but we will talk about them, and we will stick with simplicity and go and see what the scriptures say. Okay, well, let me give you these scriptures for today, please, if you want them. If you do, I hope you do. What has God the Holy Ghost done in times past? And here they are. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Job chapter 33, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And these are the scriptures that we gave for the other category, what is the work of the Holy Ghost. These are scriptures for that we talked about today. John chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. You know, on that last one, did I say John chapter 16? The last one was John chapter 15, verse 26. That was the first one. And the second one was John chapter 16, verse 8 through 11. That happens when you get old. The next one is Titus chapter 3, verse 5. The next one is John chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. And the last one is John chapter 6, verse 63. Well, I thank you for joining us today, and it's always an honor and a privilege to be able to study the Word of God with you. And I pray that you have been blessed and that you'll go over those scriptures and read and reread and allow God the Holy Ghost to show you what a blessing His Word is and bless you for studying it. Thank you for honoring our Lord. And I know that the Lord is storing up treasure in heaven for you because of your labor for the Lord and His Word. God bless you. Bye-bye.